Welcome to episode 1334 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. False gods have an appetite. This is something we rarely talk about, but it is true. The things we make ultimate, success, security, approval, beauty, wealth, they never ask for just one thing. They ask, and then they ask for more. They promise satisfaction, but deliver only hunger. They promise freedom, but create dependence. A woman climbs the corporate ladder to prove her worth. The first promotion feels like validation. But soon, the position that once seemed ultimate becomes baseline. She needs the next promotion to feel worthy again. Then, the one after that. Success promised satisfaction. Instead, it created an insatiable hunger. A man builds a business to provide security for his family. But the business becomes a master that demands everything. His time, his presence, his emotional energy. Security promised peace. Instead, it created anxiety about losing what he has built. A teenager starves herself to achieve the body she believes will make her acceptable. Thinness promised belonging. Instead, it created a voice in her head that is never satisfied, always demanding more. False gods are like that. They seduce us with a promise. And then, once we have given them our allegiance, they reveal their true appetite. Consider Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar has conquered Jerusalem and taken the brightest young men of Israel into his service. Among them are three friends. We know them best by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king creates a massive golden image and commands everyone to bow down to it.
King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace.
Notice the demand. Worship the image or die. It is a demand for absolute allegiance. It is a demand that these young men give ultimate loyalty to a false god. And what happens next is extraordinary.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up.
They refuse, and they are thrown into the furnace. But here is where the story takes an unexpected turn. The furnace is so hot it kills the guards who throw them in. Yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walk around unharmed. And, most remarkably, they are not alone.
Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods.
God is present in the furnace with them. This story illustrates something crucial. Nebuchadnezzar's false god, the golden image, demanded absolute allegiance and promised security. Bow down, and the kingdom will be stable. Worship the image, and all will be well. But what the image actually demanded was this: your freedom, your integrity, your refusal to compromise, your willingness to die rather than betray your deepest convictions. In other words, the false god demanded exactly what it promised to give: security. But it could only give security through the destruction of everything that makes security worth having. By contrast, the true God, the God of Israel, also demanded something: refusal to bow, allegiance to him alone. But notice what he gave in return. He gave his presence. He walked into the furnace with them. This is the contrast we need to see. False gods demand sacrifice, but they do not stand with you in the sacrifice. They ask you to burn for them, but they do not enter the fire. The true God demands allegiance, but he does not ask you to pay a price he is not willing to pay himself. Now consider a different story from Acts 5. The new church of the way, what would become the Christian church, has just begun. The believers are sharing everything they have, selling possessions and giving the proceeds to those in need. It is a beautiful picture of community and generosity. But then we meet Ananias and Sapphira.
Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? You have not lied to just human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died.
This story is shocking. Ananias and Sapphira were not required to sell their property. Peter makes this clear. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? They could have kept it all. But they did not want to appear stingy. They wanted the approval that came with generosity. So they sold the property, kept part of the money, but pretended they gave it all. They performed generosity. They performed sacrifice. They performed faithfulness. And they died. What is the false god here? It is not wealth. They were willing to give up wealth. It is approval. Image. The desire to be seen as righteous without actually being righteous. And notice what the false god demanded. Honesty. Integrity. The truth about who they actually were. It demanded that they hide themselves, perform themselves, lie about themselves. And in demanding that, it killed them. Here is the insight that connects these stories. Whatever you worship will eventually ask for more than it ever promised to give. Success promises fulfillment but demands endless striving. Security promises peace but demands constant vigilance and control. Approval promises belonging but demands you hide your true self. Beauty promises worth but often demands self-harm. Wealth promises freedom but demands you become enslaved to protecting it. Each false god makes an initial promise that is attractive. That is why we bow down. But once we have given our allegiance, the true appetite emerges, and we discover the god we are serving is far more demanding than we imagined. And here is the tragedy. The sacrifice never ends. The false god is never satisfied. You give it your time, and it demands your emotional energy. You give it your emotional energy, and it demands your integrity. You give it your integrity, and it demands your relationships. You give it your relationships, and it demands your soul. Unlike the god who walks into the furnace with you, false gods watch from a distance while you burn. So consider this question. What has my pursuit of success, security, or approval cost me? Not theoretically. Concretely, what have you actually sacrificed? What relationships have suffered because you were chasing success? What opportunities for rest have you missed because you were pursuing security? What parts of your true self have you hidden because you were chasing approval? We normalize these costs. We say, that's just how it is. That's the price of getting ahead. We accept the hunger as inevitable. We accept the sacrifice as necessary. But is it? Is it necessary? Or have you given a false god more than it deserves? We want to invite you to do something specific. Write down one cost you've normalized that may be too high. Not in general terms. Be concrete. I have sacrificed sleep to build my career. I have hidden my struggles to maintain my reputation. I have missed my children's childhood because I was pursuing financial security. I have abandoned my own dreams to keep someone else's approval. Write it down. Name it. Look at it. Because the first step toward freedom from a false god is naming what it has actually cost you. The first step toward refusing the furnace is acknowledging that you have been burning. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego discovered something in that furnace. The true God does not ask for sacrifice without giving himself. He does not demand allegiance and then abandon you. He walks into the fire with you. When you give your ultimate allegiance to God instead of to success, security, or approval, something shifts. You are no longer burning alone. You are no longer performing for a God that will never be satisfied. You are no longer fragmenting yourself to please a master that does not care about you. Instead, you discover a God who knows you completely and asks you to be holy yourself. A God who does not demand you hide. A God who walks into every furnace with you. The false gods are still calling. They are still making their promises. But their appetite has been revealed, and you can refuse. Father, show us what false gods we're serving, and give us courage to step out of their furnaces and into your presence. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.